Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation today are the words of the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, our Savior, our King, dear Christian friend. The idea of a king is, for us Americans, totally foreign. We don't have a king. We have a president. We just elected a new one. Remember all those commercials? All those phone calls? Aren't you glad they're over? We won't have to listen to all that for another 4 years. We have a president, not a king. We even have the 22nd Amendment to our Constitution that says no president will ever serve more than 2 terms. Even if we would have a president so dearly loved and cherished, so popular, that we would want him or her to continue serving forever, for the rest of their life, it couldn't happen. We don't want a king. Yet I think as Americans, American Christians, we can appreciate what the scriptures say about our Savior Jesus, that he is Christ the King. If we but think back, and look back into Bible history, what did the Lord expect of his kings of the Old Testament people? God expected that the king would be the moral leader, living an outwardly righteous life, leading God's people to a better life with God, a life of service. The king was to be that type of leader that would lead spiritually as well, leading God's people to him. And he was to be the great defender of God's people, the one who would protect the nation from its enemies, protect its borders, protect its citizens. The king was to be the one who would oversee the affairs of the nation, that there would be prosperity, that there would be peace and safety, so that the people could move about and go about their business and their jobs without fear. The king was God's representative here on earth. If we keep those ideas in mind, we can begin to understand and appreciate the truth of today, that Christ is the King, our King, our leader, our defender, our provider. Christ the King. As we look at the words before us more closely, we realize that as we close out this church here today, there is an end to things. An end to things as we know it. Yet for all eternity, there will be one who will rule, Christ the King. We are privileged by the power of God's Holy Spirit to follow that King. We are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, followers of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We follow Christ the King. He is our King for this earthly life, and He is our King for all eternity. Some might find it a little unusual, perhaps, that on this Sunday, this weekend, which is closer to Thanksgiving next week, closer to Christmas, about just a month away, than it is to Good Friday. But we go back today to Good Friday. And there see our Savior hanging on the cross, crucified for mankind. Yet as He hung on the cross, these words before us picture for us so clearly the love and the power of Christ the King. There were a lot of people gathered around the cross that day when Jesus died. Some of them, no doubt, were there just out of curiosity. Kind of like when you're driving along the freeway and you see those flashing lights up ahead and you realize there was a car crash on the other side. And so you slow down. Oh, not because necessarily you have to, but because you want to look over there. And you want to see. You want to see what's going on. You maybe don't want to see all the blood and the gore, but you want to see a little bit of what's happening. Curiosity. No doubt there were many people looking on there as Jesus hung on the cross that were just curious. But we're told about some others. The religious leaders. They mocked and jeered. They teased Jesus, if you will. If you're the Christ, if you're the chosen one, come on down. Down from that cross. The soldiers joined in. Roman soldiers who didn't care at all about Jesus or about a Jewish king. They said, as they offered him wine vinegar, if you're the King of the Jews, come on down. And there was that sign that was posted on a placard above Jesus' head, prepared by Pilate, the King of the Jews. Mockery of Jesus, yes. Mockery of the religious leaders who brought Jesus to be crucified. Yes, indeed, Pilate was mocking them all, that the Jews would crucify their own king. Many of these people, religious leaders included, maybe even some of the soldiers, had heard some of the accounts of what Jesus did during his earthly ministry. How he had made the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. How he'd healed the sick. How he fed thousands upon thousands with a few loaves and a few fish. How he had raised people from the dead. Yet they didn't believe. They wouldn't follow this king. They wouldn't follow this man who claimed to be the Messiah. in unbelief, they rejected him. How unfortunately, they would have to then stand before God on judgment and stand alone and own up to that rejection of him. And we know what Scripture says, that there will come the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, ultimately, they all would have to confess this was Christ the King. But to their damnation, how blessed we are that the Holy Spirit has worked in us, that we follow Jesus Christ the King. We see him as our King here in this earthly life. He is the one who provides us with all of the blessings of this earthly life. He is the one who gives us abilities and talents, who blesses our labors, puts food on our table, puts a roof over our heads. It all is a gracious gift from a loving and forgiving God. It is our Lord who is our great defender. It's not our military. It's not our intelligence. Those are gifts from God. Gifts that he gives to us to protect us. But do we recognize it's God's gift to us? Christ our King protects us. And spiritually. Spiritually he has given us his forgiveness. The worst of sinners, me, I am forgiven by my God. Each and every day of my life, I can close my eyes and sleep a peaceful sleep at night, knowing that my God has forgiven me. All because Christ is my King. And it's true for you too. We follow Christ the King. He is our earthly King, the one who provides, the one who defends, the one who forgives. The one who gives us life itself. How blessed we are to say, we follow Christ the King. Yes, in this life and for all eternity. This portion of Scripture, especially the Gospel of Luke, is probably maybe the second most familiar verses of Luke's gospel. The first would be his account of the birth of Jesus in Luke 2. But then would come this section, I think, where this dying thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's asking, Jesus, put in a good word for me when you get there. See what you can do for me. And what does Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. The King says, it's all taken care of. The King says, you'll be with me in glory. This dying thief who was being executed, getting what his deeds deserved, he said, would be in heaven with the Lord. What a King. What a King who would love people like that and give them eternal life. But that's what he's done for us, for you and me. We don't get what our sins deserve. Our sins bring death. We get life. Life with Jesus. Life in the glory of heaven. the King gives us life. Eternal life with him. Yes, that beautiful life. This dying thief would not have to face pain ever again. Oh, the pain and agony that Jesus endured on the cross, that physical pain. That dying thief was experiencing that too. But that pain would all be gone. The fear of hell and the fear of God's punishment was removed by the King. He was given life. Life full of joy and comfort. Life full of blessings. Life in the glory of God's presence. A holy and righteous being, which he was not. But it was all his through Christ, the King. So it is for you and me. We too have an eternity waiting for us. Yes, the day will come when death will strike us down one by one, or the end of the world will come and life as we know it will cease. But then our souls and our bodies receive the greatest gift of all, life with the Lord forevermore. An eternity of peace, pain-free, trouble-free. Great joy will fill our hearts as we are gathered there before the throne of the Lamb of God with white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, praising God, our glorious King. What a King. What a King is Jesus. He gives us his glory. Yes, he gives us his glory. The sinners that we are will share in that glory forevermore. Rejoice, dear friends, that you have come to follow Jesus Christ, your King. To follow him with joy, filled with faith in your hearts, rejoicing each and every day because you have a King for this earthly life who will protect, defend you, provide you with forgiveness and life itself. And you have a King for all eternity in Christ who will give you the glory of heaven itself, who will share his glory with you and me. Yes, follow Christ the King today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.